Like, I hope I go the rest of my life and I never have anyone try to kill me again.
Yeah.
I hope I go the rest of my life and I never watch one of my closest buddies die again. I hope I go the rest of my life and I never have to pull a gun. I never have to hurt anybody. I never have to hurt another human being again. Now, don't get me wrong. That switch is still in there.
You're listening to the Christoph Lewis Podcast, a podcast where I have conversations with inspirational people. My name is Chris, but my family calls me Christoph. My goal is to have as many conversations as possible with people who have forged their own path by pursuing their dreams, making them a reality, all the while emitting positivity and sharing this knowledge with others. I seek these people out and share this information with you, proving to the world that you can do what makes you happy and do what you want for a living while being a good human being. We'll talk about careers, but we'll also cover any story that inspires. Let's do this while helping each other. Thanks for listening. I'm happy you're here. Hey, what's up, my friends? Welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast. I'm so happy that you're here. I appreciate you listening. If this is the first time that you're here, thank you. If you are a repeat listener, thank you as well. Like I said, I'm so excited you're here. I was actually blown away by today's conversation. I spoke with a gentleman today, none other than Dakota Meyer. He walked in the same valley that I walked in one of my three deployments in Afghanistan, where he received the Medal of Honor. And it's just incredible to like look into the eyes of another guy that's walked the same valley, like the same paths, the same wadis. It's unbelievable. Like nobody, I've never met anybody. So I don't know, it connected me on another way. And we talked about some incredibly in-depth stuff. And to hear his shift in mindset over the 9 years that he's been out of the service is incredible. Like it took him a long time to get where he is now, but it's so hopeful. This podcast was full of hope, and that's one of the many reasons that I love this conversation. I really enjoyed it. It's easily one of my favorites already, and you can listen to this podcast and all the other podcasts at christophlewis.com/podcast. All right, so without further ado, welcome to the Christoph Lewis Podcast.
Nah, man, thanks so much for having me.
And that's an absolute pleasure. I was just telling you off camera, like, I couldn't believe, well, first of all, I told you I was selfishly just so excited for this podcast to talk to you because I had never talked to anybody else other than the guys that had been with me up in Gonjigal Valley outside of Abad. And it just blows me away how life comes together and how like you come back meeting with people. And I just think it's incredible, man. So I just want to say I'm honored. Yeah. And I just think it's cool, like in a way, you know, I say that word loosely. It's like, there's some crazy shit happens up there, but it's really awesome. And to go through those experiences, even though we went it years apart, it just means so much. And it's definitely a bond, even though it's completely different experiences.
Yeah, no, I mean, dude, we've walked down
that's what I'm saying.
I mean, but I think it's ironic. I think, you know, what I pull away from it the most is like, you know, you talk about how it's the first place you ever got shot at.
Yeah.
For me, it's, you know, it's a place that, you know, define the rest of my life.
Yeah.
And so it's kind of like, it's kind of crazy because like, you know, the first time you get shot at is kind of a significant act.
Yeah.
It's a significant moment in your life.
Like, yeah,
forget it. You only get one time the first time you get shot at.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? And then it's like, you know, so it's that valley is, it's pretty crazy. The valley's changed both of our lives.
It has. It's so working at that command that I was telling you that I worked at when I worked next to, as I described, giants. I mean, I loved working with those guys, and I worked with them for about 4 years. And that whole time there, regardless of being forward deployed or training with them, just defined, like you said, the rest of my life. Although, like, I think there's like two ways to go. Like, you get thrown into those situations and you either like crumble and possibly die for real, like no shit die, or you like pick yourself up and you like fucking act and you make the best of it and you allow it to define the rest of your life in a good way, other than like crawling into a corner and just like becoming a piece of shit. Yeah. Essentially.
Yeah, I mean, you know, I call it you let your new identity be a combat veteran.
Yeah.
Right? And that's not an identity.
Yeah.
Like you can't get out of the military and say I'm gonna be a damn good combat veteran.
No, it's so different. It's and I know you got out after it. I heard you talk about it too. It's like you were in a leadership position and you thought it would just kind of complicate things, for lack of, you know, another description. But And I totally, obviously, I've never been in that position particularly, but I understand, like, having that background that you said, having a combat background and doing all that crazy shit and then getting out and, like, not having that sense of, like, essentially, like, adrenaline rushes have been eradicated. Like, I'm working, yeah. Like, you kind of asked me, like, what I do. So I got out of the Navy last year in August, and I work at an IT desk job. And, like, now, like, my neck's totally jacked up from an injury, actually, on that deployment, from hiking in those mountains, obviously. They were super rigorous. And, you know, I was telling you, I was a comms guy. I had about 70 pounds of gear on. And so going in those, like, rolling my ankles and just falling down, and my neck's all jacked up. So I'm suffering from that. And it definitely just wears on you. But I got out last year, and it's hard to define yourself. And I know something that's worked for me to answer one of your other questions off camera, Dakota asked me why or what I really do and why did I start the podcast. And this was one of the reasons is on my first deployment, I suffered serious trauma in a sense of losing a lot of people that I worked with. And then that was my third deployment out there. And I experienced all those things, like you said, the first time I got shot at. And then it absolutely defined the rest of my life. And I know it has for you. So real quick. Wait. Yeah. Like hyper, I wanted people to know, like, from your words, like who you are, like micro synopsis, just so we can get that out of the way.
Yeah. You know, so I'm Dakota Meyer. I was a Marine Corps veteran, served the Marines from 2006 to 2010, served in Iraq and Afghanistan. I was a sniper, and, you know, now I'm just a father of two beautiful daughters.
I love that. And, you know, that's a great segue, because I was watching something where you said you have to have a why, and your daughters are the reason you get up there, your why. And another thing that I, like, so selfishly thought about is we have a 4.5-month-old daughter. And I was like, dude, like, that totally resides with me. And I get it. Like, I understand having that new why. And the podcast, like, all these questions that you're asking me kind of evolve, like, into one thing in totality, and, like, helping other people and, like, having tragedy and just these crazy instances and learning from them and growing from them. And then, like, now I have a daughter. That was one of the reasons I got out personally, to answer your question.
Well, you know, one of the things that, you know, I want to hit on before we get too far from it, you know, you talked about that adrenaline and search that, now comparing it to an IT job. You know, I want to say this, be real careful, because I did this for a long time and I see people do this, right? Don't ever romanticize what we did.
Yeah.
Like a lot of times we get out and we get away from it, and we're like, fuck, I miss it.
Yeah.
Like, I miss being over there. I miss going over there and fighting. I miss, don't ever let those words come out of your mouth. And I'm going to tell you why, right? Like, nobody misses it. Like Like, I hope I go the rest of my life and I never have anyone try to kill me again. I hope I go the rest of my life and I never watch one of my closest buddies die again. I hope I go the rest of my life and I never have to pull a gun. I never have to hurt anybody. I never have to hurt another human being again. Now, don't get me wrong. That switch is still in there.
Yeah.
And I know that I am very capable of doing it, and I don't care to do it.
Sure.
But don't ever, you know, a lot of times we get stuck in this funk because we say, you know, our mind believes it, right? And I see these guys all the time who are like, and it took me, I'm telling you, I got out in 2010.
Mm-hmm.
I probably only hit this mark a year ago.
Wow.
But so many times it's like, man, I just want to go back and just fucking, you know, I want to be a pipe eater. I want to go back and sling guns.
Yeah.
And
a lot of guys say that. A lot of guys do. A lot of guys say that. And I think,
but we don't. I mean, I don't, like, and, you know, I was telling a group the other day, I was like, you know, think about the times you were really getting shot at. Do you really miss that feeling of when you hear the fucking Taliban screaming Allah Akbar and you can hear the motherfuckers close enough to you and they're trying to kill you? Do you really miss those moments? No.
It's scary, man.
No, you don't.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right about that. And I think, yeah, I don't have those moments. And you're right. It's tough to...
You know my point. You get my point. It's hard to...
No. I do. Like, because at one part of it, on the one side, it gives you that adrenaline rush, which we as human beings absolutely just crave. There's no other way to say it. But at the same time, when you, like you said, you put yourself in that position. And I think about all those positions, and I forget the valley south of it, but... The valley south of it, as crazy as Ganjigal was, the valley south of it, one or two, was the scariest moment, second scariest moment of my life. Do I want to be back in that position? No.
No. But you think about why our adrenaline was so high. It was because our body had to have it because we were about to die.
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think we get back sometimes and we remember, like, the times we were kicking dudes' asses, right? Because those are the, like, it's always fun to kick somebody's ass, right? I mean, but most of the time, like, if it was a real gunfight, they were kicking your ass too.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And obviously, you're the guy to talk to answer that question. I mean, it's, we don't always win. We perceive ourselves as the good guys, and we obviously don't win for whatever reason it is. And I know the reasons. I've read it in detail, what you've gone through, at least what's on the internet. You know, obviously I'm not you, I wasn't there, but I know, like, crazy shit happens and you can't control that, but you do the best damn thing you can, and you did the best thing you could, and that's all you can do, man. That's all you can absolutely do. So, and, like, I love all of that. And then again, like, in totality, I love that you had that vulnerability just to tell me, like, dude, I've got out, like, what is that, 9 years ago now, and just like a year ago, I'm coming to grips with what I'm telling you. And I think that that takes a lot to say that, because I don't think a lot of people, I don't care, man, woman, what you've been in, because everybody perceives those situations differently. Like, they could have gone through something worse, they could have gone through something a lot less worse. But I think everybody that gets out struggles with these things, a sense of purpose. And
I call it the reckoning. I mean, I don't, yeah, you know, not only purpose. I mean, purpose is hard anyways, but I mean,
it is,
you know, we talk about, I mean, purpose is hard for anybody. You don't have to be in the service to find, you know, to have a hard time with purpose, right? Be purpose. People suffer. I mean, people suffer purpose every single day. Right. And, so, I mean, it's hard. You know, they asked a lot of us, like, we went through a lot. I mean, watching people die, I mean, there's nothing, like, even if you're killing someone, there's nothing fun about watching another human being die. There's nothing sexy about it. There's nothing, and all these movies have came out and they've romanticized all this, this true suffering that has forever changed generations. Like, yeah, look, it had to be done. I mean, that's why we do it.
Sure.
But, you know, don't get out for 1 second and give it the validity of impact that it deserves, right? Like, don't ever, it was nothing. People seem worse. It doesn't matter. It's still a huge impact on your life.
Yeah.
So always do that. Give it the validity that it has.
Yeah.
So that you can take control of it and don't let it run your life, right? I let mine run my life for a long time. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, a guy once told me, he said, you can either exercise your demons or they're going to exercise you.
No, you're absolutely right about that. And like, I agree. It's the most important thing that's happened to you, and you should deal with it as such.
My worst day is no more significant than your worst day.
Still our worst day.
Still our fucking worst day, right?
Yeah, but like, in you know, having said all of that, like I said, and then you taking, you know, roughly 8 years to get to the point to say that, well, shit. Now you're like, you're able to contribute to part of like my why. You're able to contribute to part of like me, you know, recuperating and trying to not only better myself, because like I've said before, this is definitely for me too. Like I've called it this verbal journal. Like, people write journals down. Like, I have, me having a conversation with you is like my journal. And then the cool thing is I get to hear my tone. I get to hear your tone, like your reaction, my reaction to what you're saying. And I can come back and I can listen to this whenever I want now. And I think to me, like, in this day and age with like social media expanding at light speed, I think like, why not do that? So I've been encouraging people to like talk into your phone, you know, like talk to yourself in your phone, record it and like be that your journal. And there's so many ways you can take it. And
that's badass, man.
Yeah. And I'm going to shift a little bit because I didn't want to forget to say this, but you quoted one of my favorite books, man. You quoted Good to Great by Jim Collins. I push this book all the time. And I think one of the quotes you said that, you know, good is the enemy of great. And that's
greatness is a conscious choice.
Absolutely. And I think that second one there, it's a conscious choice, kind of goes back to the other things you were saying. Like, you could have not, it took you 8 years to get to that point, that mindset. You could have not ever gotten there. It was a conscious choice, right? What do you think? What do you think changed in your mind 8 years later? That's not like, a couple years later. That's not like next month. I mean,
I think I just had the hard talks with myself, right? I think that I started looking into why, like, okay, why do I say this? Like, why do I keep telling myself that I miss war?
Sure.
Why do I keep telling myself that, you know, why do I dug into it, like, of what, and looked at the facts of it and not the emotions of it, right? And
that's so hard to do, though, right? Like, it's such an emotional thing. How do you tell somebody?
I used to catch myself saying shit, like, and I always criticize people for saying it now, but I used to catch myself saying, man, I just want to go back and kick in doors and shoot motherfuckers in the face. Well, first off, I ain't never even kicked in a door and shot somebody in the face. You know what I mean? Like I probably couldn't even kick in a door and hit somebody in the face. I'm not that good of a shot. You know what I'm saying? So, like, yeah. I think about these things, and then I'm like, so why would I say that? And then I go back and I start trying to reckon with, you know, like, I watch other people suffer, and I, you know, I just find out why. Like, why do I feel this way? A lot of it's had to do with, like, my anxiety just running me and not having to, like, face it. Not like, you know, I mean, I used to drink every day before I had my daughter. Like, not like,
yeah.
I wouldn't say I was an alcoholic. I won't say I was an alcoholic for the fact that I could quit at any time. Like,
sure.
Like, well, I drank alcohol instead of taking Xanaxes. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like, you know, I look, I just think
that you were coping, like,
too, is
yeah.
Which side of the counter they're on, right?
Yeah. And you did that to cope, or what? Why you were just drinking all the time? Because yeah.
Just to cope. You know what I mean? I'd wake up, take a shot so I can get through the morning, take a shot in the afternoon. It wasn't that I needed to drink to get drunk. It was to make me level out. I mean, the same reason that people take Xanaxes, Clonopins, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Look, I just did it with alcohol. And I wasn't an alcoholic by no means. But, you know, you don't call people who take prescription drugs drug addicts. You know what I mean? So,
yeah. No, so I know exactly what you mean.
And I could quit at any time. And so when I had my daughter, I backed off a lot. And it made me feel more. And then I had to start making sense of these feelings, right?
Yeah.
And I had a lot of moments where, like, it just, I mean, I got exercised. And I had to make sense of it, of why. And, you know, so many times we try to figure out why this happened to us instead of why are we going through this? I didn't want to live the way I was living. I didn't want to, like, and so, like, I had to find a, like you said, the purpose.
Sure.
And so.
And your daughter contributed to that? And did your daughter contribute to your purpose? Kind of help you. You said, because you dialed it back, you know.
She's not necessarily like you can't look at your daughter. Your daughter can't be like, if you say, oh, I live for my daughter, you can't do that. It won't work, because then your emotions ride on. I don't know. Are you married, divorced, whatever? Right?
I'm married.
You're married. So yeah. your emotions can't ride on, well, my daughter's my purpose. Because if that's the case, then when your daughter hates you, you're going to be down because you just put all your emotional sure. authority in your, right?
Mm-hmm.
So now my purpose is my daughter deserves, both my daughters deserve the best father they could fucking possibly have.
Absolutely. Yeah.
And somebody they can be proud of. Now that gives you a purpose. Your daughter deserves that. Your wife deserves that. And it's your job to, just as you took it when you were operating to be the best for every man on that team, you didn't want to be the fucking weak link.
Yes.
Well, now you've got a team for even more of a purpose.
Yeah, that's a crazy way to think about it. Because you're absolutely right. You don't want to be the weakest guy. You don't want to be the fallout guy. You don't want to be the reason that, you know, we can't complete the infill or whatever. So I think for anybody struggling with anything at all, and you said one of the points you said way back at the beginning was like, it doesn't matter if you're military or not. Like, this isn't just a military podcast. Like, we deal with shit all the time, regardless of who we are. And just because we're out of the military now doesn't mean we don't deal with shit. And just because you haven't been in the military doesn't mean you don't deal with bad shit either. But I do like you saying that, like, hey, all right, imagine yourself in that team. Imagine you didn't want to fall out. You didn't want to be that guy. You wanted to do the best you could for you. You wanted to do the best you could for the team. So this is your team now. Your family's your team. You know, your kids your team. Your wife's your team.
you ain't never had a team that needed you more than you got now.
You're absolutely right. No, I love
society,
that.
I mean, society needs you, right? I mean, you know, you talk about purpose, man, and like, dude, all you gotta do, you walk into a house of purpose every day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you go look at your IT job. I mean, that's no different than weapons maintenance. Yeah. You know what? You might not love it. You might not want to do it, but it's critical to the team. Right. And it's, you know, and that's what got me to be like, look, you know, I gotta be the strongest. Like, I don't want to be I'm not going to be the weak link in this team. And you know, and then that's just where you got to start reckoning of, why did I go through this? Well, you know what? Like, if I went through this fire to be able to help someone else get through it, and that's what matters. And you know, just because I went through what I went through, it doesn't mean that other people haven't went through worse that didn't serve. You know, like, I look at it and I'm like, you know, rape victims,
people, there's tragedies, you know, every single day. It doesn't matter. It absolutely doesn't matter. But it sounds like it was more of like, you said you had the hard talks with yourself. You said you kept on asking yourself why. And I think between, you know, having your first daughter, and then, you know, you had another daughter, and then now you're asking yourself these questions. So like, to get back to like 8 years late, or 8 years from when you got out, it wasn't obviously like this black and white moment of where things snapped into place and you're like, oh shit, I have this clarity I've never had in my entire life. But it was this slow thing, and it just sounds like you worked on yourself and you were serious about it.
Yeah. Well, I think what's interesting is someone, they asked me this question the other day. I'd never thought about this until last week. And it made so much sense to me, man. This guy asked me, he goes, well, you know, because I told him kind of the same thing. Like, I'm way ahead of you being out, right? Yeah. Like, I've gone through this. And he goes, well, what would you today tell you when you got out? He goes, what questions are different? And I looked at him and I said, you know what, man? The questions never changed. The answers changed. The questions you have today, they'll never change. Like, you have to make the conscious choice every single day. You know, the questions weren't, the questions are still the same when you were in the teams and before you were in the teams. The questions never change. It's just the answers change.
Yeah, that's interesting.
That's the difference.
Yeah, that's really interesting. And I'm going to, again, pivot again and say, I mean, you're not stopping though. So we got to that point, you know, 8 years afterwards, and now here you are 9 years later. And you're talking to people. You're talking to people like me. You're talking to people on, you know, in bigger events. And I'm just so interested about that, because that's like, it's one thing to have that conversation with yourself, but and it's even harder to admit those answers. Like, you're talking about answers, right? It's harder to admit those answers to yourself, because sometimes you might not like those answers. But and then you're not only sharing it with yourself, but you're sharing it with other people. And I love talking about like helping other people. And you're obviously doing that. Like, you suffered tragedy. You're helping other people now. You're talking to people again, like myself and people on a mass basis. But I like asking the question. So why do you choose to do that? Why? Because a lot of people, let me preface it with, a lot of people stop with themselves. Like, they see this, they have this epiphany, they have this clarity, and maybe they rescue themselves, but they don't go on to kind of pay it forward. Is there a reason why you've chose to do that?
You know, the first part of being vulnerable, like, the people who close up and don't make themselves vulnerable are the weak people, right? Because I make myself vulnerable knowing that I'm gonna get hurt. Mm-hmm. People are gonna criticize me. They're gonna talk shit about me. They're gonna question me. They're gonna come at you, right?
Yeah.
But I know that I'm strong enough to take that on.
You're damn right.
So I can't open it up. And I'll tell you this, man, like, if you read the messages that I get, I mean, what fuels me, like, you talk about purpose. Dude, when I get a woman write me and say, you know, you talking about PTSD the way that you did is the first time she said, you know, I was raped a long time ago and I never felt like that I was valid for it. And you have like made me feel like I am valid for suffering from it sometimes. Wow. And I can't thank you for what you've done for that. I had a guy come up to me the other day, handed me, he had made a skull. And I talked to this group and he'd had this skull, and in the top of it, he'd made a beautiful skull. Like, it was really nice, handmade it. And in the top of it had a bullet hole. And he said, I was going to kill myself. And before I talk to you, and after listening to you, like, I want you to have this because I don't want to kill myself anymore.
Those are the most incredible reasons.
So what, you know, what else?
No,
it ain't, I don't
no, that's
anything
it.
To do it. I don't. You know,
I agree.
What else you gotta do, right? I mean.
Yeah. No, I love asking that question because I get very unique answers and I get very similar answers. I talked to somebody else in the service. Oh gosh, it was like 30 or 40 episodes, but he said something similar. Like somebody came up to him and said like, I didn't kill myself because of you. Like, so like people, this is why, like, oh my God, I talk about it so much. Like, I get it. It's hard to share your story at first, but work on it. Just like Dakota did, work on it, work with yourself, ask yourself these hard questions.
Figure out a good way to tell it.
Yeah. And figure out a good way to, absolutely. You can't just tell it. You have to have that conviction and you want to tell it. But like this guy, Brian Fleming, he went up there, somebody approached him. You just said this story. So like people, this is like two people now that I've talked to that, you can save lives. You can literally save lives by sharing your story. That's unbelievable.
How many times, though? I mean, how many times, think about this. Like, you know, you sit back and see social media has created this fucking problem. Social media, phones, text, it's created this problem of where we don't have to connect with each other. Like, I mean, if you notice, I'm telling you, like in past relationships, if an argument came up, everybody wants to talk about it over text. Yeah. You want to for sure ruin your relationship? Communicate about the hard stuff over text and watch it just fucking blow up.
Yeah.
Because you don't get that empathy from each other, right? You don't get that connection to where, wow, I said this and it really hurts her or him. And you can't really fix things because it's just like, it's like two cold people, you know, talking to each other. There's no connection. And that connection's what does it. And, you know, you look at those types of things. And that's what social media has done is we don't talk about our suffering. And so we all feel like that we're having to suffer alone. And instead of, I mean, how often do you hear people and they say, you know, they come out and they're like, yeah, you know, I'm kind of embarrassed. Like I'm going through this. And somebody else in the room goes, well, shit, I'm going through the same thing.
Yeah.
And how much better do you instantly feel?
I just talked about this on one of my podcasts last night. I said, you got to go out there and share it because when you hear somebody that went through your shit, like, yeah, it doesn't fix what you went through. It doesn't change it. But man, being able to talk to, like, we connect it. Like, I've literally not talked to anybody else that's been in that valley. I never knew you before 30 minutes ago. But now that's just something special that we can connect on because we literally walked the same place. We walked the same trails. We walked the same wadis. Like, we did all of that. And that's incredible. Yeah. So yeah, I couldn't agree with you more.
I mean, there's the thing is everybody, like, here's the thing. Everybody's fucked up. Everybody's going through something.
Yeah.
Everybody's struggling. 100%. You can walk into any room and there's not one person in that room that's not suffering through something. Everybody's had a first day at their new job. Everybody's been worried about their kid. Everybody's had their kid go to school. You know what I mean? Everybody has gone through something and everybody is going through something. Why don't we all relate?
Yeah.
Why don't we all get together?
Yeah,
you know, like that's the thing is we as humans have just, we've lost that empathy for each other. We're all trying to out victimize each other.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good way to put it. Yeah. It's crazy how that comparison can be in such a manner. Like why are we trying to outdo each other in that manner? Like,
why is being the victim now a competition?
I don't know. Maybe because we're allowing it to happen. You know, nobody's putting their foot down. I don't know if I know the answer to that. Nor do we have to answer it right here, but it's a good question to ask.
Because the day you stop becoming the victim, the day that you take control of it, then you have to do, you can't blame someone else. That's where the work starts.
Yeah.
That's why.
And the work is work. The work's the hard part.
You know, I call it like going to the gym, right? Like going to the gym is kind of humbling, right? Like, yeah, we can work out at home by ourselves, which is cool. But going in the gym is kind of like life, right? Like you walk in there and you have to look at where you stand.
Yeah.
And where you fit in to these people, right? Like you can see who's gone in there and put the work in.
Yeah.
Who's been disciplined, who's strong, the people who don't put the work in. And where are you at in this? Because you do measure up.
Sure.
In there. And you have to look in. What's in there? Mirrors. Everybody else. You have to look and get that real. You know what? And guess what? And it's kind of like life, because when you get down there, you're lifting. Are you really giving all your effort?
Yeah.
Are you really putting in the work?
Yeah. That's why it's so great to start your day with a workout. I mean, I can't work out right now, but when I did, I would start my day with working out because I love starting my day doing something hard, challenging myself, pushing myself. I couldn't agree more.
Yeah.
So I want to touch on something a little bit different. I know when you talked to Andy, you said the Medal of Honor was the worst thing ever that happened to you. But because now I've had this conversation with you right now, you had that flip, but now you're doing all you're answering the questions in the way that I hoped I would hear you say, and you did. Why do you help people? This is why I help people. So this is something obviously terrible that happened, worst day of your life, but now you're able to help all these people. I mean, I think that speaks a lot for yourself. And I just wanted to say, I mean, I know that's how you feel. I don't know. Is that how you still feel? Is that?
Yeah.
But so even with being able to, like, because, you know, we were talking about those are really tough times. Those are really shitty days, to say the least. Yeah. I'm not trying to undermine it or anything. But now you're able to, like, have this conversation with me again, like I'm saying. You're able to get up and speak to other people. And you saved a life. Like, I understand, like, lives were lost. But now you're going out there and save lives. I mean, like, to me, if that's not full circle, like, you could have gone a different way. Like we said, remember, like, you could have gone a different direction with it. Like, that 8 years could have turned into the rest of your life. Easy.
100%.
And I know.
There's some people who hit their deathbed and they never had that damn reckoning.
Yeah. So you're saying even with, like, being able to help people and everything, like, you still feel that way.
Yeah, I mean, 100%, it's the worst thing that ever happened to me. 100%, yeah. But here's the thing, is...
Because you're using it for good now, uh-huh.
Because here's the thing, man, is we talk about those questions. Like, I life is nothing but a series of questions and answers.
Sure.
Nothing more than that.
Yeah.
It's nothing more than that, right? And we don't have control of the questions, but we can control the answers.
Mm-hmm.
I can't control that was the worst day of my life, but I can control the answers to that worst day of my life.
Yeah. So,
you know what I mean?
Yeah. I do. And I understand that, like, that's what that represents, but, like, it's just crazy to me. See, like, now it also represents, like, you're also saving lives from that. And I know you, like, told me the story and I know you understand what I'm saying, but I'm just saying, like, from we were a stranger again, 30 minutes ago, like, from an outside perspective, I just think that's mind-blowing. I think it's mind-blowing that something so tragic or something like that can stand for something so bad and tragic in your life, but at the same time, you can use it for good.
You can, and that's on you. That's on you, because you know what? Like, you can sit here and, I mean, you know what? Like, honestly, as bad as it is, it would be acceptable to society for me to just drink the rest of my life in the ground, to never work, to seclude myself, to go sit in... I mean, we know a lot of guys that do it.
Well, yeah. You know what I mean? Well, a lot of guys in that community, and a lot of even recipients have done that as well. So it's not an uncommon thing.
That would be acceptable. What did those deaths really go for then? Right. Mm-hmm. Like what did, I mean, you know, that everything we did in the military was trying to make the world a better place.
Mm-hmm.
You know, whether we were taking out a bad guy, yeah. We were trying to remove a bully. Whether we were going in and passing out aid, whether we were going, everything we did was try to make the world a better place. And you can still, when people say, I got out of the military and, you know, I just don't have that purpose anymore, it's like, bullshit. You got it. You every day, like, mm-hmm. You know, what about walking in and telling somebody, hey, you know, opening the door for somebody, have a great day. Hey, how are you doing? You know, what about walking in and you know, somebody bumps into you on a subway. You know, that person could have just lost their job.
Yeah.
You don't know what they're going through.
You're 100% right. I think about that shit too. I absolutely do. And you have to think about that, because it goes back to what you said even earlier. Like, we're all dealing with so many different things. Like, you can get a whole group of people together in a room and everybody's dealing with something in that room. So I think about that too, because I selfishly go, like, well, you know, screw this guy for bumping into me, or screw this guy for doing whatever. But, like, wow, you know, maybe he just, you know, he could have just lost his wife, or he could have, you know, like, you have no idea. You really have no idea. So don't make assumptions.
You know, but we as veterans, you know, we expect everybody to change the workplace around because of our PTSD. You know, like, God forbid, we expect everybody to bow down to us, to stop shooting fireworks on the 4th of fucking July, because God forbid you have a veteran in there that's ever been shot at. It's like, but we can't sit here and have some empathy for everybody else.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's fucked up. And if anything, it's like, some people can relate because they went to a fraternity. Some people can relate because they went to college. Some people can relate because of where they grew up. You know what we can relate with? We know what it's like to watch people suffer. So if anything, we should be able to help other people in a way that most people can't. We have a gift that from what we've gone through, that we can help people on a whole nother level get through what they're going through and connect with them in a way that most people can't. Yep. And it's selfish and it's ludicrous and it's disgusting for you to use that to be the victim and for yourself instead of using it to help other people get through the shit that they're going through.
Yeah. But you're right. I mean, people go the other way and you chose to go this way. And it took, you said yourself, and I'll bring it up yet again. Like, it took a while, but you made the decision. Yeah. You answer those questions differently than other people do.
It took a while. I mean, it took a while, but you know what? Like, I'd rather it be 8 years than 20.
You're right. You're absolutely right. Well, yeah. Listen, where can everybody find you? This was incredible. 30 minutes, like, no, zoom by.
I got a podcast owning it. I want to bring you on it. You gonna come on the podcast? I'm gonna make you say yes on here.
You got it, man. I'll be there. You just let me know when, and I'll be there. I would love to talk about it more because there's so much more I would love to talk about with you, honestly.
I'm in, man. We'll do it. So Owning It is our podcast. Dakota Meyer 0317 is the Instagram. Flipsidecanvas.com, ownthedash.com, YouTube, Dakota Meyer. Find me all over.
Awesome. All right, Dakota. Well, like I said, I really do appreciate it. It means a lot to speak with you, and I just can't believe I could connect with somebody on that level. Like, it blows my mind. I think about literally walking there. I'll never forget the geography of the layout of that place, and it just blows my mind. So I really appreciate it. I loved our conversation, and I look forward to continuing it.
Let's do it, brother.
All right, my friend. Have a good rest of your night.